This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. For 30 years, the city of Cincinnati had a memorial commemorating the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at the corner of Martin Luther King Drive and Reading Road in Avondale. In 2017, that memorial was moved to make way for the Martin Luther King Drive / I-71 interchange improvement project with the promise to build a new memorial in the heart of Avondale. Now artists have been selected to make good on that promise. Joining me to discuss the memorial's design and the community's role in it are ReSite co-founder and artist Shane Albritton. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you.
Artist and sculptor Stephen Hayes. Thanks for being here, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
And glass artist and designer David Wilson. Welcome, David.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Shane, can you start by telling us just a little bit about the selection process that you went through to become the designers?
Sure. Essentially, we become finalists in a proposal phase. And once the finalists are selected, they are given a stipend and required to present a proposal to the stakeholders. And so that is an extensive process of interviews and design proposals. Once we are selected, then we enter into a contract and we begin our work with the community.
Hmm. And the design concept is called Light of Hope. Can you explain that concept a little bit?
Sure. I would say that in the beginning of this process, we were all given a collection of words and themes and ideas distilled from the community. And they were shared with us. And so we kind of used these sentiments as a guideline for designing the entire proposal, Light of Hope. We understood from the community that it was very important to have a figurative bronze sculpture of Dr. King. And we understand that, traditionally that represents a level of immortalization and pays tribute to a cultural leader, and it carries a certain gravitas. And so we're always trying to reach beyond just the initial concept into the who is it for and what is the purpose. So we begin to think about what it was that inspired King. Not just that he was an extraordinary man, but what inspired his journey and how could we visualize and communicate his enduring legacy. And through research and interviews, we were inspired by an essay that he had written entitled An Experiment of Love, in which he considers six basic principles and how they can be used in a successful movement of nonviolent resistance.
Hmm.
And so the six tenets of nonviolent resistance become part of the foundation for his philosophy. And we wanted to represent these six guiding principles as large vertical columns that radiate outward around his sculptural presence.
Wow. And Stephen, the bronze statue of Dr. King will be a little bit bigger than life, but more life-size as opposed to kind of the giant larger-than-life sculptures that people often see. Why was that important to this design?
Yes, so it will be mostly life-size because it's important because we want to make sure that people know that, like, he was human and that, you know, even though it seems like there were monumental shoes that you have to fill, but he's still human. You are human as well. And you could do the same as he did, you know. So we wanted to make sure that it was life-size so it can give that human touch so that people can look him eye to eye and be welcome to stand beside him and take pictures or, you know, just be one with the sculpture of him and not seem like it's towering over them.
Mm, kind of be inspired but not overwhelmed, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah. So, David, tell us about these pillars and what history will be shown and kind of reflected in these stained glass pillars.
Sure. As Shane referenced, there will be six of them, and they'll thrust upwards in a designated pattern around the sculptural creation that Stephen will place in the center of the overall plaza. And they'll have an inspiration that we were really moved by, Dr. King's connection to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church and the stained glass windows there. You know, it's a great thing about working with Stephen and Shane and Norman, who's the other co-founder of Recite, is that they really have this organic kind of didactic approach to how they, you know, go through the process of coming up with ideas and concepts for their public art commissions and installations. And Norman did a lot of research into the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church and found that these stained glass windows, a lot of times when people go to the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church as a kind of memorial and a way to learn more about King's journey, they stand and take a lot of pictures in front of these stained glass windows because the color that's within these stained glass windows wash onto the wall and wash onto your actual person. So something about that use of color and glass and light, how it changes your perspective, it calms you, it maybe breaks down areas where maybe you were a little bit, had some walls built up, and it allows for, you know, maybe healthier exchange and open exchange and dialogue. And glass being a medium that I've worked in over, you know, 10 to 15 years is kind of my primary medium with public art installations. You know, Shane and Norman being aware of my work in that field and in that medium, we just felt like it was a natural choice to have glass kind of offset this more, you know, aspect of the bronze being in the center. So you have this opportunity during the day and during the evening where, you know, color and light will be interacting with those who visit the plaza and move throughout its different areas to create this really beautiful effect of, you know, almost like an open sanctuary where you feel like you're maybe in a solemn place to, you know, reflect and give some thought to what King's message was in his journey and how that relates to each individual. But you also have this opportunity where, you know, from a distance and you can see light really charging up that plaza, and hopefully it serves as a beacon for the community and those who are passing by and visiting Cincinnati that want to come to that plaza and learn more and explore.
Hmm. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Recite co-founder and artist Shane Albritton, artist and sculptor Stephen Hayes, and glass artist and designer David Wilson. We're talking about the new memorial to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which is being planned for Avondale. So, Shane, tell us a little bit about how Dr. King's connections to Cincinnati will be reflected in the memorial.
Sure. I think tagging on to part of what Stephen or David had touched on, this being kind of an open sanctuary that is accessible to everyone, it being integrated into an urban space, it's imperative that the community become involved in the selection of stories being told here, because ultimately this is going to become part of their identity in a positive, reflective way. And so David, who works with the community, we selected him to go in and interview people and take photographs of people to incorporate into this montage of images within these pillars, but not just current images, but also we working with historians, we research and find historic images of local leaders and local civic leaders and groups that have worked with Dr. King or have ties to the movement. And so we will incorporate those images as well as current images and hopefully, you know, find a poetic way to connect past and present and you know, really reflect this enduring kind of legacy that is moving forward.
Mm. And David, have you begun that work yet?
No, not yet. I think we have a pretty good foundation for what we've placed in our proposal that actually, you know, afforded us to gain this opportunity. As far as with once we get into the actual community engagement phase, I generally do not like to go into it with a pre-planned idea. I do like more of an organic kind of open approach. You never know when someone might bring in an actual, you know, photo or have a story to tell that could change the whole direction of the layout. And as a designer, in my fine art aspect of creating artwork, I work in a collage method. So, you know, usually I'm taking everything from actual photographs of maybe even pieces of art I've created, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, just to take a corner of it to make as a texture that could kind of overlay an archival photo or something that's more historical, or take tools on the computer, method of like collage, you know, the traditional method, like an artist like Romare Bearden, you use scissors to cut actual newspaper or magazine photographs out and then kind of paste them down. But I work primarily in a digital collage method. So the same tools that are traditionally used, there's a scissor tool and a knife tool that I can use on my desktop to, you know, go through a lot of these photos and really find interesting sections and complement and contrast areas that help tell the story in a really fun and unique way. And it also allows a layered approach. So when you come to the plaza and look at all of these pillars, or maybe one of them, the next time you come back, hopefully you see something different than them. I like to generally like to embed several, sometimes even up to 50 to 100 layers of different images within the piece to give, you know, the viewer, you know, an opportunity to not just get one message, but to hopefully come back multiple times and, you know, receive multiple visages of inspiration.
And Stephen, you'll be responsible for the bronze sculpture of Dr. King. What's the pressure, or what are or some of the, how do you approach that? He's such a well-known figure. There are so many sculptures and busts and just memorials to him. What kind of pressure does that put on you as an artist to capture him in a way that is specific to this memorial?
Well, yeah, there's going to be tons of pressure to try and make sure that I capture his likeness, just because there is a ton of sculptures of him. So there is, you know, the pressure is on. But I think it is important to, you know, get his likeness as close as I possibly can, and also create a memorial of him that invites the people to be a part of it and invites the people to stand up beside him and hold his hand. So that's my main goal, is just to get the audience and everybody who is viewing the work to want to come in and be a part of it, and to listen to, you know, his stories and his pillars of, you know, how to be a human being.
And Stephen, we talked about this a little bit before, but as you approach your sculpture and you think of these pillars all around it, what do you really want people to feel when they're there, when they're in the midst of this memorial and experiencing it?
There's no telling what somebody's going to feel, you know. Just be able to create something to inspire people, you know, for the greater good is the goal for me. When it's coming to creating this memorial, you know, Martin Luther King was here to try and inspire people for the better, you know, to stop hate. So to create a sculpture to help, or a memorial to help inspire people for the greater good.
And Shane, I know there's going to be a quote carved. The plan is to have a quote engraved on a granite pedestal bench. Can you tell us what that quote is?
Yes, that quote is, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And so for us, that felt like the foundation of his entire philosophy and the entire expression of this memorial. It is centered right below him, and as David mentioned, the imagery of the people that he inspired, that he touched, that he helped, that he continues to inspire, will permeate the entire experience. It will not necessarily be you know, images of Martin Luther King all over, but it will be the faces of the people that he continues to move forward in their struggles.
It's such a moving and beautiful quote, and it's one that we associate with Dr. King. There are also words that Dr. King expressed that were viewed as radical during his time, his fight for economic justice. Will any of those views that are related or maybe less well-known regarding poverty and social justice and economic justice, do you think there's a place for those to be reflected in this, Shane?
I think several of those topics may be integrated into the pillars themselves, because essentially that is the storytelling device that we're using here. So I think that will evolve as we move forward. It depends, you know, a lot of this is going to depend on what the community brings to us and what research that we can find. And all of those things will be compiled and distilled, and through David will, you know, create these beautiful compositions to tell a more comprehensive story.
Yeah. And David, how do you go about reaching out to the community and interacting and, you know, having these conversations and finding these images that will be so important to these pillars?
Well, since Stephen and I are based in North Carolina and Shane and Norman are based in Texas, we'll rely heavily, of course, on the local Cincinnati project partners. Of course, since the city of Cincinnati, and then, you know, of course, the Avondale community has their community leaders, and we'll be connected with them as we start this process. And use technology, of course, to our advantage since we're some distances apart. Everything from the use of online surveys to Zoom conferences where we can, you know, actually see one another and go through some of the vetting out of what we feel some of the most important stories that the community would like to see told through these different pillars is kind of the approach. Because as Shane mentioned before, you know, our job is here to just kind of be sponges and kind of take up in the initial phase of the engagement process. And we don't know how many actual sessions it will require. You know, sometimes it requires as little as three, and sometimes it could take, you know, up to, you know, double or triple that amount. But the main thing is we want to make sure we get it right for the Cincinnati community and for the community of Avondale, because after we leave the project, you know, Shane mentioned the work will live on in that community, and it's theirs, and they own it. So our job is to just make sure that we're really listening and being effective translators of what that message is. So, you know, we'll use all those different opportunities at our disposal, and even, you know, being there physically. I have family in West Virginia, and I also have some roots in Ohio. So this would be a good chance for me to, of course, go home and see family in West Virginia a little bit more, and hopefully tap into some of my Ohio roots and connections.
There you go. Well, I do want to come back to you, Stephen, with the sculpture, because I imagine that as an artist, it's not just about the likeness and making sure that's spot on, but also figuring out what kind of facial expression and body language you want Dr. King to have in your work. Are there any particular images of Dr. King or any specific moods or moments that you've been exploring and want to show through this sculpture?
I believe we've been exploring him standing at a pew in a church, and the gestures that he gave, you know, at a pew. There was one image where it was just the back of him looking onto the audience, and just seeing how, you know, I guess his mannerisms were. So it's more about, yeah, the gesture of him reaching out to the audience and the look of him looking down, looking toward the viewer. And not like away from the viewer.
Gotcha,
so
really.
To let you know that.
Yeah, that eye contact kind of.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so sort of Dr. King at the pulpit is one of the inspirations?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. I'm sure you've got a lot of images of that to look through and sort through and kind of inspire you.
Yes, yes. We're going through a lot of them right now. Thank you.
Yeah. And David, what else goes into, you've got all this community work to do, and you've got, you mentioned the stained glass windows at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. I understand that quilting is also perhaps an inspiration for the pillars. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Quilting is was a great metaphorical way to not only tell the story of Dr. King, but also to tell the story of Dr. King as a representative, iconic representative of the African-American community, even though his message was for all. Quilting has long time been a method for not only preserving the history of families. I remember my grandmother had a quilt on her bed that I'd always go and, you know, want to open up and explore and just, you know, figure out, you know, what was going on with the visual imagery there. But, you know, it helps tell a story. You know, it allows me to also kind of marry this process of how I use collage to, you know, take different elements that maybe don't have a particular meaning in one context, but once you take them and place them amongst maybe several other different images or pieces of images from other photographs or resources, they take on a whole new meaning. So, you know, collaging and quilting, you know, felt very natural for this process. And it also allows us to really explore color in a unique way, because, you know, the African-American quilting community is, you know, the results that come out from that community are usually very vibrant, bold, and colorful. So we're looking to, you know, take that inspiration and really weave it, pun totally intended there, throughout each one of these.
Well, I understand the sculpture is scheduled to be unveiled in August of 2023 to coincide with the 60th anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. I've been talking with ReCite co-founder and artist Shane Albritton, artist and sculptor Stephen Hayes, and glass artist and designer David Wilson. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Liz.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzell. Technical director is Derek Smith. And you can find archives of our program on our website, wvxu.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Lucy May.